Good morning, everyone. All right, we're continuing with our series that we've been working on, and today we're honored to have Dan Abraham up here. I think it's Dan's first time on a Sunday morning, but Dan has taught so many classes, the men's classes. As a matter of fact, I was just hitting him up about doing another men's class while I had him captured up here. But he's an excellent teacher, so I asked him to come up on a Sunday morning here and speak to us. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Dan.
All righty.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bob has a wonderful way of approaching you to do a teaching.
You know I'm in the room.
He would be what's considered passive-aggressive. He will say, I've been praying about this, and I thought you would be perfect on this subject. And it's always an honor, and I'm honored right now to speak to you. So thank you. But when it's, you know, when prayer has taken place and they say, I have thought about you, I went and looked up the scripture, I thought, what could be a teaching on one scripture? I mean, we're talking about one scripture here, not even a chapter. What the heck am I going to say? And I looked and it said, do not pay evil for evil. Or shall I say this, do not repay evil for evil. Do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now you have to ask yourself, why is he saying don't repay evil for evil? And the reason for that is that Paul knew that we retaliate, that we seek revenge, that when we are hurt, we in fact want to hurt back, and sometimes even worse. It's one of the toughest things about being a Christian is being able to absorb some hate towards you. There was a friend of mine, and he is a friend. He used to mock Christianity. And the first couple times I would just kind of laugh it off. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm busy here. I'm not dealing with this. But he continued to do it, and I told him one time, I said, listen, I will no longer tolerate this. It wasn't hard. It wasn't evil. It wasn't hateful. That simple word, tolerate. I'm not going to do it. Ended it all. Oh, sure, I wanted to give him a tongue lashing. I wanted to tell him what I thought. I wanted to tell him what he was missing out on. I wanted to tell him everything that he did wrong. Everything that he said wrong, everything that he said that was violating, but I chose not to, and I'm glad, because he's a friend. You know, we played paintball on, 2 days ago, we played paintball. You know, some of the times when we get hurt the most, it's from the people who we love. And many of the times, we take offense to things that people say. We see it all the time on social media. Somebody may actually try to offend you, and then others may do so mistakenly, not even know it. And we say, what did they? They said what on Facebook? Well, watch this. And the first thing we do is retaliate, the exact thing that we are told not to do from people we love. Now, when we were playing paintball, part of the object was to shoot the other team, and once they were all out, your team won. Right, Sammy? I think I tagged you a few times. Don't let pride get in the way, brother. So once I'm making my way closer and closer to the opposing team, and all of a sudden I get tagged twice in the back. And I turn around, you have to put your hands up and walk out so you don't continue to get tagged. And I said, there's nobody from the other team behind here. I got hit with friendly fire. And it didn't feel too friendly. I tell you what, if you get tagged with a couple paintballs, it kind of hurts. No, It may have been Sammy. Sammy duct taped his rifle and it said AK-47 on it. I knew we were in trouble. But it's hard not to do this because we sometimes justify our revenge. We justify it and we say, well, I wouldn't say that if they didn't say this first. Okay? Or I react this way because, you know what? I need to teach them a lesson. They violate us, we get hurt, we do the exact same thing back to them, and then we justify it. And that's why Paul's telling us, do not repay evil for evil. Our parents taught us, two wrongs don't make a what? A right, that's right. And that is very good advice. Now, if I repaid evil for evil, if any of us did, but it, for those that don't know, I'm a middle school PE teacher. People will take offense differently with the exact same thing. If I took offense every time an eighth grade girl went like this, nobody likes you. I would quit my job. I tell them, I say, no, you're wrong. My mother loves me. Well, that's the only one. I say, that's all I need. God loves us. That's why he's telling us don't repay evil for evil. We look at our marriage. Those who are married, those who have tight relationships. Sometimes we repay evil for evil in those. You know, I saw a sign a while back. It said the perfect marriage is a union of two forgivers. And that's right. See, it would be wrong to hold somebody else at a higher standard than we are willing to hold ourselves. That's what non-Christians do. They say, you're a Christian, you know, you're supposed to be up here. Meanwhile, I'm going to stay down here in the ditch. But you, darn it, don't you? Oh, I see the way you are. They hit you with, oh, you're all the same. Sometimes I tell my wife, you took me for better or worse. Sorry that it's worse. But here's the thing. We have to make sure that we strive to be a forgiving people. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, you know, I'm going to paraphrase because it's not coming right now. You will be forgiven as you forgive. That means that if we are to be a forgiven people, then we need to be a forgiving people. See, we often forget that part. Forgiveness is one of the toughest things about being a Christian. It goes along with humility, to offer grace to somebody who offends you. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Just sit here and take it and absorb it? Well, yeah, to a degree you are. Nobody's saying to be walked all over. I don't think that would be right. But when you repay it with evil instead of love, you are doing the same thing that they did. You want to hurt other people. You want them to feel the pain that you feel. You're going to use social media. You're going to use nasty words. You're going to talk about other people behind their back so that they know you're not going to take it. And that's when our pride kicks in. And we'll learn that that's not the only place, Romans 12:17, that is taught to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. So every time you repay evil for evil, you are not doing what is best for everybody else. You see, sometimes there could be a person who takes a dart, okay? They take an insult. They take a violation, and they go like this. Big deal. And yet there's somebody else who will lose sleep. Or there's somebody else who is going to be so upset, and then what happens? The ball starts rolling, and the ball starts rolling. And the thing is, this could be somebody you love. We see it in the church sometimes, where we should not. I just read you two verses that says, do not do this, but sometimes our pride takes over, and it just happens. Did you see that guy? Did you see what he did? Oh, my goodness. So why do we strive for revenge? We do it to erase the shame and humiliation and restore our own pride. So I came up with a list of why we do this. Restore our dignity and increase our pride. We are increasing our pride, which God does not like, by repaying evil for evil. Essentially, we are in sin by restoring our own pride. See, we're taking all of that and putting it on ourselves when we should be putting it on God. I have a coworker who said, you know, every time we go like this, try to turn that finger around here. And if you can't do it here, do it up here. Okay, take it to God. Don't take it all on yourself. You couldn't handle all the sins that are in all the insults that I couldn't. I'd go bury myself in a hole. We want to restore our honor. We want to teach the aggressor a lesson. We want to punish those who cheat or break the rules. Right? Have you ever done that? Oh, yes, you have. Don't be holy at this point. We want to act as a deterrent. That's one big one for me. I'm like, if I accept this now, does that mean this is going to come later as well? I'm going to go back and teach you. You're not going to get away with that with Danny. Oh, let them know right now. Demonstrate their power so they are no longer powered. So they will feel powerless. Right? I'm in charge here. You know, one of the best things that they say with somebody who's in charge, one of the best things that they do, whether it's a boss or a coach or any type of leadership position, is have some skin in the game. You know, you yourself go in there and show a good work ethic. You yourself lift people up. You be the one to fill in for that place, that position where nobody shows up. Instead of be the one to say, you know what, I need you to take care of this. I need you to take care of this. I've got Facebook to go attend to. That's not going to work so well. Then they want to tell their side of the story and set the record straight from their point of view. You know, many times when there's a lack of communication, we forget that we could have this whole thing backwards. And I love it when somebody comes back and says, you know what, you read that whole thing wrong, and yet you called me a name. You felt the need to insult me, and you didn't even hear me right. Or I wasn't even talking about you to begin with. And then what do? I'm sorry. Yeah, we go back for forgiveness after we repay evil for evil because we were evil. The fact of the matter is insults hurt. False accusation is always something that brings out the worst in us. You know what else does?
Your money.
If you feel ripped off, those in business. You know, I want to tell you right now, if you never want to be ripped off, do not be a landlord. You will get ripped off. And when I first started this, my wife and I are both landlords. I'm the front man, which means I get to deal with this kind of garbage. There was this a female tenant who I had to evict. And in court, she showed up and just tore me apart. Everything false, one lie after another. And I found myself on the defensive in front of the judge. And I'm usually pretty good with this, but I'm like, she's getting all the airtime. And then Mr. Abraham did this, and then he didn't fix this, and then we had this problem over here, blah, 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 blah. And the judge is like, Mr. Abraham, is that true? And I'm like, no. No, she's lying. She is doing this, she is doing that. And the whole time I'm thinking I'm losing this thing. And the judge says, okay, I heard both sides. Ma'am, you need to be out in 10 days. Boom. And I was like, did I just win this thing? So after 10 days, she actually did move out, which was unusual. But she left the whole basement filled with dog feces and urine. I mean, just everywhere. The dogs never went outside. And I was horrified. So, anyways, I don't want to get all into this, but I just want to give you a little picture of how I wanted to repay evil with evil. I said, I will get her back for this. I will collect the money that she owes. I will do this. And I tell my dad about this, and he comes in the house. He goes, woo, get some air fresheners. I'm like, I know, Dad. Thank you. He says, son, you have to cut your losses and move on. I said, I know, Dad, you've said that to me before, and I understand, and I know that you're right, but this case is different. Not only did I get insulted and lied to and lied about and everything else, but now I'm picking up stuff I don't want to pick up. This one's different. He said, son, cut your losses and move on. Well, not being the smartest guy in the world, I didn't do that. I spent more of my energy going after her. I found out where she lived. I went to sue. I went to garnish. I went to do all this stuff. Nothing worked, and it took a little while. I said, everything I do is not working. Maybe my dad was right. Maybe I should have listened to him. But when you're... definitely. When your feelings are hurt is one thing, and that's not good. When you're emotionally hurt, you want to repay back with that same intense emotion. But when your finances are hurt, that kind of raises the bar just a little bit. 1 Peter 1 verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We are very holy people on Sunday morning. That's when we are holiest. But Monday morning, we get into that office or that workplace, and we sometimes join in right in with the gossip, you know. Yeah, I heard that about Fred. He said that. Listen to what he said last week. Boom, we're in sin. Most of the time, it's not right anyways. Seems like every men's meeting, we pick on Fred. He's just right there smiling. It's like he's not going to be offended if he's smiling. Another reason why we should not repay evil for evil is because when we do that, we take the place of God. He tells us revenge is His. So when we take revenge ourselves, we are saying, I know better. Matter of fact, I'm not willing to wait for you to handle this. He's right there. I'll get him. I'll leave a message on Facebook. God's not going to do that now, is He? People we love. Many times people we cherish. Our goal is to draw people to God, not to do what's best for ourselves. Now the second part of that verse says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Many people will do a great job at their job when the boss shows up. We are the best workers. I could be lounging around in the gym. That boss shows up, all of a sudden I'm a little more vocal. Come on, you can do it over there. Let's go. I wasn't doing that 30 seconds prior. But it says, be careful. Why? Why do we have to be careful? Because it's so easy not to do it. That's why it follows, don't repay evil for evil, but be careful to do right in the eyes of everyone. Now, who do you suppose shows up when we as Christian people do not do what is right in the eyes of everyone? Non-Christian people. That person said this, and they call themselves a Christian? When they themselves don't live by the same standard. Matter of fact, your standard will be here in their eyes. Sometimes unreachable. And I like what Sammy said last week. He said, you know what? My problem is I need God. I need that redemption. I know I can't do it on my own. Your problem is you're still trying to do it on your own. And it's not working. We do so much finger pointing, and Christians do it as well. Hopefully not as much, but we do. We need to repent. Every time we go to violate or say something or take part in gossip, we are in sin and we should repent. Do right in what, let me say that again. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Earlier I said that we need to be more absorbing of stuff and less aggressive with insults. This message here is called Grace and Humility, a Christian's Biggest Challenge. And how hard is it to sit there and absorb stuff and sit back and take it when it is coming from somebody who you either love or you despise, but yet we are supposed to love on that person. We are supposed to not get walked over. Okay, there's a difference here. When we sit back and take it, we could say, you know what, that's okay. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm just going to go over here, okay, because this is not interesting to me. I'm not going to engage with this. That's on you, brother. I'm just going to hang out over here. Then you always hit them with the, God bless. Oh, the non-Christians love that one. The non-Christians will also play the Christian card, as I already said, but as long as they are down in the ditches. And so we as Christian people need to understand that. See, we sometimes, we say, well, we're standing on higher ground, but the minute we don't do what is right in the eyes of everyone, we go right off our little self-made pedestal. And it is self-made. Oh, I do it. Hope you don't think I'm preaching at you. So we need to have a godly reputation, and we do need humility and grace. One of the things that I read when you know the whole verse says, do not repay anyone evil for evil, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. I thought to myself, you know, that kind of sounds like, you know, we need to be politically correct. We need to make sure that, you know, we don't want to say anything offensive. We have to watch the way we talk to people. You know, we have to be ultra careful with the way we communicate. But that's not all entirely true. I mean, we have to be ourselves, but at the same point, we just have to watch our tongue. You know, John Clinton was up here one day, and he said something I don't know that I'll ever forget. He said, every time you insult somebody, every time you violate somebody, they will always remember you from what you said. And if we don't get the opportunity to forgive, or we don't even know, then we miss out on something that could be a beautiful friendship. Because they will hold on to that hurt. Forgiveness is an amazing quality to have. Forgiveness is like a campfire that's getting out of control, and that forgiveness is that bucket of water that's just going to put it out. However, if forgiveness is not had or not asked for, what John Clinton said is they will take 100 good things just to make up for that one thing, and that one thing could be one word that you called somebody. 100. And then right when you go back to that same point, even if you're talking about somebody else, that person, he overhears it and he says, I remember that. And you go right back into, you're right back into that same standing with that person. How can you develop a relationship like that? How can you develop a long-lasting friendship when you think, deep down, this person doesn't like me? How's a marriage going to work when one person feels hurt about something that was said 5 years ago when you are not going to forgive? So it has nothing to do with being politically correct. It's trying to make right with your speech, make right with your forgiveness. You have to be willing to forgive and be forgiven. Dwayne may not remember this. His head just popped up when I said it. I like to mess with this guy. Once at a men's meeting, he stole my notes. I'll mess with him. I'm going to compliment you, so. Got to prepare Dwayne for what's coming. But he said something a real long time ago. I said to, I shared with him, I said, you know what, man, I said something. I wish I didn't say it. And then I even went back to the guy. I at least did that right. I said, you know what, I said something. I think it was taken out of context. I could tell by the way that you reacted. I want you to know that I'm sorry. I don't mean it. It was meant to be a joke. Most people would be happy about that. Matter of fact, they would increase their trust for you because you humbled yourself to do that. And I appreciate it when someone says, you know what, I get it. Let it go. Do not let this bother you. And that's what this guy did. I felt better. He felt better. We had a better working relationship. But I was still beating myself up. I still can't believe I said that. Dwayne said, you have to forgive yourself. He forgave you. Why are you not forgiving yourself? And I said, ooh, Dwayne, that's good. It comes out every now and again. So it has nothing to do with being politically correct. I am not politically correct. And if we look deeper into the chapter on Romans 12, we will see in verse 2, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and pleasing and perfect. Pretty nice. We all want that, right? Verse 9, let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. In order to hate what is evil, we need to understand what is evil itself. Every time we fall into sin, every time we tell an off-color joke, every time we participate in any type of gossip, it's sin. Therefore, it is evil. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Even that friendly fire from the people who we love, bless them. Let them know, you know, hey, I need to know what exactly you meant when you said this. Oh, brother, I didn't. Oh, whew. Wow, I thought that was, no, I didn't think you would, but I just wanted to double check. Hey, thanks for double checking. A lot of people go and tell all their buddies what I said, even though it wasn't true. And there are others. It's 1:45 now. Let me end with this. Chapter 4, verse 30 and 32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. As Christians, we have been redeemed. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit that was a free gift given to us. Get rid all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
All God right. Bless. Give Dan a hand. Great job, Dan. Who would you like to close in prayer? You get to pick somebody to close in prayer. Ed, good choice.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this message, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask that you would penetrate our heart with your word, Lord God, that we would go down and worship you this day, Lord God, that we would look past those things that cause us to stumble, Lord God, and that we would forgive as you forgive. In Jesus' name, amen.